Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Overflow Ministries Radio Broadcast. I'm Cindy Lucas, founder of Overflow Ministry. I want you to use your imagination for just a few minutes. I want you to imagine a world where all is peace and joy and love, where there is no hatred, no strife, no bitterness, no envy. Imagine homes where fathers and mothers bless their children and they honor one another. Imagine businesses that operate with integrity and value their employees by paying them an honorable salary so that they can take care of their families. Imagine employees that honor their employers so much that they willingly do their work with a high level of excellence and integrity. Now, all of this may sound like a pipe dream, but I believe it's God's dream for our world. Jesus said, "My peace I give to you." Jesus didn't have a peace like we think about peace. Jesus had a peace that enabled him to sleep during storms. He had a peace that enabled him to look out at thousands of hungry people and take the little provision that he had to have faith in his Father to multiply it and make it be enough. Jesus had peace that enabled him to see the world around him from the perspective of his Father in heaven, because he knew he was on assignment on earth. Your life is much more valuable than you realize. You have so much more potential than you give yourself credit for. God has great plans for you to have hope and a great future. God's purpose is for Christians, his saints on earth, to show forth his goodness in such a way that the world around us is impacted and transformed. Listen to what Paul said in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, and I'm going to read it to you out of the Amplified Bible. Out of the Message Bible. Here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, your going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. You see, God wants us to set our minds on things above, where Jesus is seated, so that we can have his perspective for the world around us. Part of our problem is that we don't know and understand our calling as Christians. We've not understood the calling of the saints to do the work of ministry in the world. We've thought it was the pastor's job. And so we've tried to live a good life, mind our own business, go to church, and pray that Jesus comes back soon. This past Sunday, as I watched the New Orleans Saints play in the Super Bowl, I got to thinking about all the places in Scripture that the Bible refers to Christians as saints. As I watched the Saints, who were, by the way, the underdogs of the game, I pondered the possibility of how God might be using this to relay a message to his saints, the church. You know, Jesus all the time used everyday events. He talked about vineyards and he used fishermen and he talked about bridegrooms and weddings and he used everyday ordinary things of life to relay his message. So it's not out of the realm of possibility that God might use a national football game to get a message to us. It's time for the saints to really go marching into the world with the good news of hope, healing, and salvation.
I'm believing for a miracle. I'm expecting God to move. I'm ready to receive. I'm looking for something new. I'm believing for a miracle, just like the ones that raised the dead. I'm believing for a miracle, just like Jesus said. The God of Moses who parted the Red Sea, he's forever the same, and his Spirit lives in me. By faith I lift my hands and cast my cares on him, knowing that he's able to restore my joy again. I believe it for a miracle. I'm believing for a miracle, just like Jesus said. The God of David, who made a shepherd king, oh, he dwells in humble hearts, and he moves in ways unseen. With thanks I lift my voice and sing a song of praise, for all my circumstances are in the hands of grace. I'm believing for a miracle, I'm expecting God to move. I'm ready to receive, I'm looking for something new. I'm believing for a miracle, just like the ones that raise the dead. I'm believing for a miracle, just like Jesus said. I'm believing for a miracle, I'm expecting God to move. I'm ready to receive, I'm looking for something new. I'm believing for a miracle, just like the ones that raise the dead. I'm believing for a miracle,
So, who were the saints in Scripture? According to Strong's Concordance, they were the holy ones of God. Throughout the New Testament, saints are those born of God to do good works so that God can be glorified in heaven. Saints were the ones called by God to be His ambassadors on the earth. Saints were the ones empowered by God's Spirit to heal the sick, raise the dead, open blind eyes, and set captives free. Saints were the ones that Jesus appointed to do the work of ministry on the earth, even as it is in heaven. Now, you may be saying to yourself, oh, I'm just a housewife. I'm just a mechanic. I'm not a preacher or an evangelist. You see, you may have believed that all your spiritual service was just about getting to a church. Or you may have assumed that because you're not a Sunday school teacher or a pastor or a choir director, or maybe you don't even go to church, that you don't have much to offer in the lines of spiritual service. But I've got a surprise for you. God on purpose designed and gifted you to be His witness in the very place that you are. That's right, He chose you to be a housewife, a mother, a mechanic, a painter, a realtor, a teacher, nurse, lawyer, singer, scientist, pilot, farmer, factory worker, fisherman, or whatever it is that you do. He chose you so that He could display His goodness in your life, in your sphere of influence, and share His love with the people in your world. He chose you to be His ambassador, and you are on assignment for Him. In the book of Acts, Jesus told the disciples that they would be His witnesses in Jerusalem, Samaria, and all the earth. Jesus was speaking of different areas that they and us would go. Some would be witnesses close to home. That represents Jerusalem. Some would be witnesses to those in areas of darkness. That would represent Samaria. And others would do extensive traveling throughout the earth, like missionaries and evangelists. All are called to be a witness, but all of us are not called to be in the same place. I believe the Day of the Saints is on the horizon. I believe that God is about to do a new thing in the earth that will bring revival in a way that has been unprecedented in times past. This won't be a revival in the church. This will be a revival in the streets, the workplaces, and in their homes. People are more desperate than ever to hear something good for their lives. And God is going to use you to bring that message to them.
As morning breaks into the night, to wake the dawning sky, Your love has cast the light of hope into my darkened life. And now the chains that shackled me are falling one by one, and my heart has been set free to pray Thy will be shine through me, Lord,
wonders of your grace were hidden from my eyes. So many gifts you'd given that I never recognized until you opened up the door and life filled every room. And now I long for nothing more than to use these gifts for you. Shine through me, Lord. Fill the darkness of my life. Let your love pour through the darkest night. And shine, shine through me. 'Cause there's a hurting world that needs to know the power and the light that changes.
It's time for the church to wake up too. We need to be training the saints who are coming to our services to do the work of the ministry in the places that God has assigned them. Ephesians 4:11 says that Jesus gave some to be apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists to train up the saints, to build them up so that they could do the work of the ministry. Now, I know that we need leadership in the church. I am certainly not saying that we don't need those pastors and teachers and evangelists. Jesus himself gave us those. But this verse says that the function of the leaders is to prepare the people, the saints, to do something. And I, for one, don't think that that doing is just getting to a building every week. So let's see if there are any similarities between a football team and the training up of the saints for the work of ministry. I'm not an avid football fan, but I do know a little of the mechanics that it takes to train a football team. There are different coaches that train the players in specific areas so that they can perform specific tasks during a game. There are even people to take care of injuries, hurts, bruises. The owner owns the team, and he is the one that provides all the equipment, all the training, all the rewards, and even all the protection that the players need to be able to play the game. But can I tell you something? The owner isn't the one that plays the game. Neither are the coaches the ones that get out on the field and play the game. It is the players who are trained to play the game. So the coaches assemble the team, and they start looking at which players can do which jobs, and they start training them specifically for that. Quarterbacks are not trained to be linebackers, and punters are not trained to be blockers. The coach's job is to equip the team to be ready to do the work of playing the game. But all that means nothing if the players never have an opportunity to actually play a game. Oh, they'd know a lot of stuff, but what would be the point if they never got to actually play a game? Likewise, all of our religious knowledge is not worth too much if it's not put into practice. That's why James tells us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. The doing is supposed to follow the learning. And if there's no doing, one has to wonder how much knowing there actually is. Since we are children of God and joint heirs with Christ, then I believe that we should be doing the works that Jesus did. Jesus even said in John 14:12, that we, the disciples, the saints, would do greater works than he had done. So, what are some of the works that Christians are supposed to be trained to do? Well, here's a short list that I compiled from three different passages in Luke 4, Mark 16, and the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. Preaching and prophesying good news to the weak, the weary, and the poor, healing the brokenhearted, proclaiming and prophesying liberty to captives, bringing revelation and restoring blind eyes, liberating the oppressed, healing the sick, casting out demons, forgiving people, loving people, praying for God's kingdom to be on earth as it is in heaven. Now, that's a pretty long list, and that's only from three passages of scriptures. And if you'll notice, there's no limitation on where these services are to be performed. And I believe that's because, like Jesus, we are supposed to be doing good everywhere we go. The truth is, we have more saints receiving ministry than there are saints being trained to do the ministry. The saints have not been trained to go out, and they have become content with being spoon-fed once or twice a week. I lived a long time like that myself, thinking that my job as a Christian was to attend Sunday services and attend Bible studies. And while I did learn a lot, it wasn't until I started practicing what was being preached that my own life began to turn around. The truth is that when I'm doing for others, I'm not nearly as focused on me and all my problems. And I've learned that I don't have to do everything. I don't have to be the punter if I'm supposed to be a linebacker. I don't have to be the quarterback if I'm supposed to be the receiver. You don't have to do what somebody else is called and gifted to do. Stop comparing yourself. Be content with who God has called you to be.
There's a call comes ringing for the restless wave. Send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue and souls to save. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine.
The day of the saints is dawning on the church. It is a day when the people in the pews will be about their Father's business in the streets, at work, at home, in the schools, in government, and everywhere that God has them positioned. If you're not sure what your gifts and talents are, find out. Read through the passages of Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 and see if any of the gifts mentioned there connect with your spirit. Don't be concerned if you don't have certain ones. Rejoice and be glad for the one or two that you do have, and get busy developing yourself so that God's team on earth, His saints, can win the Super Bowl of life. There are so many people that are struggling with depression and stress and loneliness. They don't need to be told that they need to be in church. They need to be told that they are loved and that they are valued. They need to be introduced to the great physician and the comforter of their souls. And you are the one that God has chosen to display His love through. Make no mistake, wherever God has you positioned is your designated playing field. How many touchdowns are you scoring? How many tackles have you made? How many passes have you gone out for? Do you realize how important you are? Do you know that God has positioned you to help bring comfort and encouragement to someone? Are you doing the work of ministry or just attending services? Are you actively sharing your faith with others? Are you loving the unlovely and extending forgiveness to people around you? Are you sharing your gifts of giving, singing, healing with others? God is calling His saints off the pews and into the game. Don't give in to the excuses of what you don't know or that you may offend someone. Ask the Lord to guide you with wisdom, understanding, and patience. Be bold. Take a chance. Step up and open your mouth and let God fill it. Chances are that the people that you will share with will be so grateful. Now, there'll be some that won't want what you have, and that's okay. Jesus said, shake the dust off your feet with those, but to move on to somebody else. If you are a child of the King, this is your time, because this is the Day of the Saints. As we close today's program, I want to encourage you to know that God is with you and that he has gifted you for such a time as this. And I just want to speak a blessing over you. I want to bless you to be able to fearlessly share your faith with those around you. I want to bless you with peace coming to you and from you, causing people to seek you out, asking about the hope that is within you. I bless you with being a mighty reconciler, bringing people into peace with God. And I bless you in the name of the one who was crucified just for you, so that you could share the good news of peace with others. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for tuning in today. We hope you have been encouraged and uplifted by today's message. Be sure to visit www.cindylucas.com to learn more about Overflow Ministries. That website again is www.cindylucas.com. And while there, you can download a free podcast of this program to share with your friends. You can read Cindy's testimony, order music CDs, send prayer requests, and make contributions to this ministry. If you would like to invite Cindy to come to your church, conference, or other ministry event, please contact her at 931-766-2536. That number again is 931-766-2536. Until next time, may the peace of God overflow in your life.